Good morning, LinkedIn friends. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It's Monday, July 14th, here with Nico Lafakis. How's your weekend, man?
Very good. Very, a little bit restful, relaxing. Got to do some non-AI stuff with some friends and RL.
Some human stuff, I hear.
Yeah, some human to human interaction.
There we go.
But yeah, it's been good. A lot of exciting news, as there always is in this realm, in this field, and some unexpectedly good news. Well, somewhat unexpectedly good news, which is that this year is going to be the year, at least for putting a lot of the misnomers to bed, right? And that all kind of starts now with Grok 4 and Grok 4's release on the commercial side has been rough. And that's a little bit to be expected. Again, what these things are like behind the scenes versus what everybody gets to play with out in public are two entirely different things. So behind the scenes, what's going on with benchmark testing is that we're not, it's a midway point between done with humanity and not quite so far that humanity couldn't quite possibly catch up, right? Like, at least in several lifetimes. So what I mean by that is Grok 4 scored better than every single PhD holder on the face of the planet at every single subject on the planet. So we're there. And it also scored 40+% on humanity's last exam. If you haven't been following the news for that one, it's a like 2,800 plus question exam, which if I read you the first 16th of a question, you wouldn't know 9 out of 10 of the words. Okay. The best that a human could possibly do on this exam, and this was put together by humans, mind you, the best another human being could possibly do on this exam in all areas is five. No, I'm sorry. In their own specific area of the answer or questions of this test, 5%. If they were just testing on what they felt they were experts in, and Grok scored 40% plus across the board. So that's why I say we're at that halfway point of okay, well, it's officially better than we'll probably ever be, but it's not quite better than we'll ever be. It's right in the middle now.
So you mentioned that on the commercial side, it was rough. And I think that, go into the pros and cons of the benchmarking stuff.
So, pros and cons of benchmarking. Pros, obviously, it's the same as when it comes to cars, right? And if you've been into cars for a long time, you follow road and track. If you followed road and track for a long time, you understand what goes on between what gets released at the manufacturer, what gets tested by road and track, and what actually gets bought by the consumer, right? There's just It's where it looks like, oh, there's only one model that got released. No, there's like four. It's just that you didn't see the other ones that were underlying. So when we get things on a consumer end, it's gone through the benchmarks. The benchmarks are initially just trying to measure hey, how much better than the last version have we gotten, right? And the most important benchmark up to now has been the mathematics benchmark, because that's also been the most difficult one for the majority of models to get past. And so now I think that's at 100, yeah, that's at 100% accuracy, right? So like, so the MME, benchmark, which is like the math, benchmark. And then there's like another one that's like the American Math Olympiad benchmark or something like that. Also scored 100%. And, so like basically we've put these, the benchmarks are essentially like tests that have been created already, that are like in some cases, there are hundreds of questions, but they're put together by experts from various fields. And it's a matter of like, hey, if you can, you know, just like a advanced biology test, it's like if you can answer these questions, then you should be, it shows that you have the level of reasoning required in order to solve these problems, right? And where we've gotten is the benchmark shows that you're capable of necessarily understanding, right? Where we are as a species and where the differentiation is that we take the level of understanding, we go that extra step further and we now apply that to new things and we come up with something new, right? So that's like what everybody is kind of, you know, if I had to say like what I'm waiting for with bated breath, it's to see what Grok is about to come up with. Yeah. Is that like, that's the next thing is just like, you know, the benchmarks are one thing on a science level in order to like measure where everything's at. You know, what we get on a consumer level is, I wouldn't say it's a watered down version so much as a throttled version of it. And then, you know, what goes on with open testing behind closed doors, you know, that's where you get the stuff with like Claude and it's really like, I wouldn't call that open testing so much as like that's alignment testing, right? It's just trying to make sure that, and what is alignment testing or super alignment? It's like, is it aligned with the moral and ethical guidelines of the company, right? And the moral and ethical guidelines of the company ought to be that, the technology is working and what's best for both humans and the technology, like the species altogether, what have you. So, yeah, I mean, it showed some odd characteristics.
Well, again, it's like this, if you guys think this is much different from how humans learn and grow and train, like you're just overthinking it. This is exactly like standardized testing.
Yeah.
Right. In schools. And, you know, people, as we've seen it, as like regulation might not be the right word, but it's probably the how you should describe it, like regulation of schools and what's taught and teaching to the test instead of teaching to knowledge. You know, a lot of kids come out of school like very good at acing tests, not very good at applying any of that knowledge to the real world, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, do they continue in university and then continue getting theoretical knowledge, or do they go right into the workforce? And all of a sudden the experience like adds that level of value to their like applied knowledge base. And that's a lot of what we see, you know, with these models too, where they do a lot of work to focus on the benchmarks, but then they are putting different, they're applying it to the real world when putting it in front of humans, understanding that it is a different kind of like test.
Yeah.
That the models also need to learn from, you know, very quickly and consistently. And that's where you see, it's interesting you say that the values of the company were like, you know, we've already seen and talked about Anthropic versus OpenAI, and now we're talking about Grok and Elon. And like, just again, just like the real world, where the degree you have like might get you in the door at the company, but the values of the company and how it operates are going to shape how you apply, you know, that stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what's been interesting for me is like understanding that gap. It's like, yeah, when they do something new and they unload a model, like any expectation that it's going to be like what you've been used to, like you should just like take that out the window, but understand like the learning, it learns so fast, right? But that moment, and I think we're even seeing that on the social level, like LinkedIn, whenever you start randomly seeing like old posts more, more than like, there's a change, like they've done something to the algorithm. It's relearning and it will come back to, you know, what we're used to. So very interesting to see. Obviously there's, I haven't dug into all of the commentary. There's been plenty of commentary on Grok 4, but I think I heard they're putting it in Teslas. Right?
Yeah. Which, so like people should definitely try to understand that. Again, that's why I say like the commercial, like what you're playing with in the chatbot is very different than what is being used as, you know, what you could consider to be like a stripped down just engine, right? Like a processing engine. In other words, like the type of solutioning or the type of solutioning is different, right? It's not trying to work out the rationale in order to try to work out what's going on in your head in order to work out what the answer is. It's being given stats and it's just being asked to crunch numbers, or it's being given data and it's being asked to crunch that data, but it's in a very structured format. So it's very different. Using it not only for Tesla, but also for Optimus, right? And naturally going to make its way over into Neuralink. What I think people are going to be shocked by, this is, and it's kind of messed up, because like as big a thing as Grok 4 is, really to me it's like it's just a stepping stone to being able to like say where GPT-5 will be, right? Because no one talks about like Grok 3, like even when Grok 3 released, right? It was like it was probably as small as this moment in time will be, as weird as that might be to say, because of like the benchmarks and stuff that this thing is smashing. There's never been a, you know, it's just never going to be the case either. Like however good Grok 4 is, that's awesome. You also have to take into account how much power Elon has put behind this thing.
Yeah.
Right. And how much like resources he's dedicated to this thing, how fewer amount of people are using Grok by comparison to OpenAI. Bandwidth matters when it comes to this. So like if OpenAI had the level of bandwidth that Grok does, we would be seeing some monumentally different stuff, right? But instead, OpenAI is quite literally supporting nearly the entire world as the infrastructure for AI right now. They're getting very, very rapidly spreading around the entire world. And that's a goal from Sam too. So like there's something to be said about the mindset that goes on behind it. Whereas Elon is very concerned with competition specifically and like narrowly focused competition. Sam and, Arvind and, Ahmad and like a lot of these guys, they're more focused on the horizontal. They're not so focused on the vertical, because the vertical is something you can chase after. Google kind of, you know, put that into motion with the way in which they played the entire sector, which is that like, hey, once we just become the bedrock, we can vertical wherever we want to. Right. So like productivity software, boop, let's just throw it out there. Right. Free. You don't even have to buy it. It's just, there you go. We just took Microsoft customers away without even like trying. Right. So vertical's always going to be there. That's going to be a space that you can compete in as long as you're the bedrock technology underneath it. We were just saying the same thing last week, right? Now that they've finally gotten their act together and they're finally making use of the channels that they already own, Gemini is starting to become a much more useful and much more interactive and much more reasonable feature, except it's like you know, you might think like, why aren't these big companies? Why don't I talk more about Google and stuff? And it's like, you caught up and that's awesome. Okay. But I shared a video with Chris, over this weekend and it is definitely one of the better videos I've seen in a while. Just related, not necessarily to like what's going on with, not like what's going on with AI so much as like what is, what people should know in terms of like who's on what side and where the investments are coming from. So there are plenty of people who are trying to invest in energy. There are plenty of people who are trying to invest in chips and all that kind of stuff. But then there are people who are invested in the risk takers, right? And the people who are willing to like go out and take the insane amount of risk, even though like for an insanely positive thing, even though it may not like pay off or whatever. Got off on that just to say that like what's happening with GPT, with SAM and GPT-5 and those releases, it's a magnanimous difference between the two. If you go back and you look at like what 4.0 looks like compared to Grok 3, and then you go look at like what Sonnet 3.5 looks like, or even Sonnet 3.7 compared to Grok 3, and now, and with like Sonnet 4, I don't know, and Opus 4, I don't know that anybody's done like legitimate one-to-one comparisons. It's been a very short time period so far. And then there is like Grok Heavy, which Grok Heavy just represents a cluster of Grok 4s. So it's like 4 Grok 4 machines or something like that, which is cool. But that's kind of, so like that's pretty interesting to me in terms of, I think, who said it? Somebody said that over this weekend. It was the quote from Jurassic Park that we're like, we're definitely running faster than we're bothering to look at what it is that we're doing, right? So it's like we put Grok, like I say we, but Grok 4 got put together before even taking a look at like, hey, what's under the hood? How does this thing? No, let's just strap 4 or 5 of them together and see what that looks like too, right? And of course it is, right? It's the race to superintelligence. So I don't really see it slowing down.
Yeah. Well, it's like one of the only certainties available. And I think that was an interesting part of this. Like, it confirmed that more compute like gets you to better AI. Like,
yeah.
Right. And that's where it's like, they all know, they've all done the math of what it's going to take. And it's strictly down to like infrastructure and power. But then like how you apply that is where they're going to differentiate and bring in that power, that understanding into the horizontal platforms, like you mentioned, are just going to mm-hmm. have a much more monumental impact versus just being the first, you know, to AGI or to superintelligence or, and you can tell obviously which ones, that is interesting, like for them more than anything else. But I want to hit on as a second topic today, like we kind of started talking about this last week when we were talking about Perplexity's new browser. Mm-hmm. And then Nico mentioned over the weekend, like talking about OS's, operating systems that, you know, will understand your behavior and will, you know, proactively suggest actions and do things on your behalf. And just this world, like this world of Jarvis, basically, like everything around us could be plugged into the Iron Man suit and, you know, helped. And then, you know, I wake up this morning and I see Dharmesh's post about OS.AI being sold to Perplexity. And it's like, yeah, how far are we away from that? Probably not very far. How do we help people? And this is where the collaborative part really comes into play, right? Like, but how do we help people understand that transition away from like everything requires input moving to nothing requires like input?
The ease of the transition is based on the handling of the technology. But I think that we transition a lot easier than people think that we would otherwise. So, and I say that only because it's kind of been the case thus far. Now, that's coming from somebody who has been extremely close to this stuff, like almost since release. So it is very difficult for me to say that with a whole lot of accuracy. I can definitely assume for people who don't know anything, if you somehow are still like unaware of any of this stuff and like you just woke up to it yesterday, I could see how it might be daunting. I think it will be more like shocking to people who don't know anything about it. It won't necessarily be like daunting to them. It won't be difficult or seen like as difficult, but it'll definitely be shocking and maybe a little bit off-putting that something is so intuitive. I think where the advantage comes from is power users like us that like we've been using it for such a long time that we understand the advantage of it. And we basically act as the advertisers, able to, you know, show other people how well this stuff works and how well it incorporates into your everyday life. You know, you were talking to me about how well Spotify's AI is working for you. And I didn't even think about it until you said it. And then as soon as you said it, I was like, wow, you know what? Yeah. Like the last two podcast suggestions I got were like very on point by comparison to what I've had in the past, right? On point, like,
and
yeah,
just to dig into that example, what happened was last year I was walking doing the morning walk, and I knew George had released the Hub Heroes podcast, right? But I was listening to a different one first, and as it was ending, like, I was like, I need to go into my pocket and make sure that, like, I listen to George's next. But then instead, I just, like, let it go to see if it was going to pick that one. And it did, right? And, yes, I'm following these podcasts. But similarly, like, Google has, you know, on the phones, there's this, like, wild card app spot, like, yep, on the lower right that you can choose, where it will just, like, based on behavior, put the app, like, so when I go out, and this morning is an example of when it doesn't always hit, because usually every day I go out for a walk, I hit Spotify and I listen to something. Today I'm listening to an audiobook, so that spot didn't help me, but I switched to Audible. But those are the kinds of things, like machine learning and that kind of, you know, suggestive behavior, predictive behavior has been around for a while. And we're talking about it just at a scale. And, you know, as we're talking through like how to transition, it's going to be another one of those things where just like videos, right? Just like people say they're bad on video and they don't want to do videos, right? Especially salespeople. And then, but then they spend all day on sales calls, like having one-to-one video conversations with people, even when they're not on video. Like, they're great conversationalists. That's what can make them good on video. And after you get over like that hurdle, that mental hurdle, like 100% mental, where you're just doing the same thing, trying to have a conversation with somebody, but you're doing it on this channel instead. Once you can do that with somebody a couple times and they get it, right? Then they see a whole nother level of value, right? I think we're going to see something similar where basically as long as you're plugged in, like as you're doing stuff, just do what you do. And like let AI, and that's where like the browser switch, like switching to an AI-based browser while keeping everything else the same, it's just going to have ridiculous value for just about everybody that makes that switch.
Well, and like we were touching on this a little bit too. You know, last week there was a comment that from Sam at one of his talks. I think it was at his Y Combinator meeting that they were taking a look at getting into operating system. And later that week, he was talking about getting into productivity suite. And 2 weeks ago, he was talking about getting into social. Anytime this guy talks about something, it happens. Right. Just look at it. Like, he's not random at all. He just isn't. He doesn't not do stuff. So he doesn't like talk about something and then not follow through on it. Just look at his record, especially when he says something like, yeah, GPT-5, we might, I don't know, it'll probably be in the next couple months. He means like a month from now, right? Like he has this pattern of like overstating things that are absolutely going to happen sooner, or understating things that are absolutely going to come about. The whole, you know, we should, I'll share it on LinkedIn today. There's a podcast that I listened to now. I caught an episode from, and that's how it got my attention, and clearly Spotify knew what was up. Because we have been having this discussion about, you know, where are we going to see, when are we going to see the first, AI driven billion-dollar company? When are we going to see the first, AI driven SaaS? And now I just, came across an episode of a guy who, it's not, you know, crazy, crazy high, revenues yet, but, has essentially his own marketing company. One guy. Does all the roles are taken care of by AI. They weren't initially. He started off like all, you know, wasn't all people, but it started off with like a fairly, you know, decent handful of people. And then over time, like whittled it down. Right. And it's not like, and I'm not saying that to say like, oh my God, the job erosion. No, it's like you guys really do need to take a look at like how easy it is to be your own boss. It's like, it's the easiest now. It's so much easier now than it ever has been before, especially if you're in marketing, especially if you're in SaaS, especially if you have anything to do with productivity. Like, now's the time, right? This stuff is so, this, like, so forward applicable, and the mindset only has to be that you focus on a specialty and just drive at it, as opposed to like focusing on a target market. Right? Like, your target market should be whatever the problem, like, you know, I know it seems really simple. Like, yeah, of course you try to find the market that your problem solves for or whatever, but it's like, people often will tell you, oh, well, you know, you having your issue with the way you put your bottle cap on, that's just you. That's not a big enough market. It is now.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, like, that's where that mindset change is. So like, just, that, like, and it's such a simple thing. How many times, like, I don't know how many things we talked about where it's like, man, this is so easy, but it's so hard to do.
Yes, indeed. And most of this stuff gets easier if you just let AI in and start collaborating with it. We look forward to coming back tomorrow with another daily episode. I'm sure there will be something fun to talk about that has happened today. If not, there was plenty brought to us last week that we could get into. Mm-hmm. So until then, hope everybody has an amazing Monday. Thanks, Nico.
See you guys.